Good evening. Appreciate the opportunity to speak again to you this evening. Sorry that I wasn't with you this morning. I was preaching in Morgantown, so I was going to preach the same sermon that I preached there this morning, but halfway through the service, singing service, I got to thinking. I thought, well, I might have to trim that in short, so I'm going to do a different one. So do it next time. Experience and knowledge and understanding is limited. Our minds, no matter who you are or what school you've been to, is finite, and it's because we live in a physical world. And then it's because we live in a world that's set with boundaries and time. And it's hard for us as humans, I think, to imagine a time or appreciate the immeasurableness of something being unlimited. It's hard for us to attempt to consider the limitless universe. Other night, we were outside. We've got a fire pit out behind our house, and you know, we live pretty far out in the country, so we can see pretty good ways. And a few years ago, especially when I was in New Mexico, elk hunting, I mean, we were way out. I mean, we were 10,000 foot up in the air, above sea level, and miles from the nearest town. And being able to see the vastness of the Milky Way out there in the mountains and the Rockies was just something that you'd have to just see with your own eyes. Hard to describe the vastness that you can see. And when you look up at those stars and see God's creation and see stars are so many thousands and millions of miles away, and to know that there's so much more that we can't see out there or we'll ever be able to see, to me it's overwhelming. It reminds me of what the psalmist David wrote in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3 when he said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man, and thou dost take thought of him?" Everything that we do here is limited by time, which in reality is just another boundary, another limitation. Everything in our experience and what we call life has a beginning and an end. Night and day, birth and death. But there is another realm beyond the space of the universe where these boundaries and limitations don't exist, and that realm is eternity. It's something, and for something to be eternal simply means for it to have existed forever, for it to have no beginning, and for it to have no end. This is a characteristic of God Himself. You know, we were talking about that in the Bible class the other day. When the class that I've been teaching, we've been talking about the book of Genesis and talking about the entire encompass of Genesis. And well, last lesson that I taught, we were doing a review of the book, and I think it was Tate or Trey One, I can't remember. One of them said, "Well, how is it possible for God to have, who created God? Where did that come from?" I said, "Well, I can't tell you that. All I know is God's always been around for forever, and that's the way it is. And we'll find out, if there's more questions, we'll find out about it one day. But God just is. He always has been, always will be, never had a beginning, never will have an end. God is God. And there's some things, like eternity, that we just can't comprehend. And because He has no beginning and has no end, that makes Him eternal as well. It reminds us also what Moses declared in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2, where Moses wrote, "Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth, or in the world, even everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And he goes on to say in verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday, when it passes by, or as a watch in the night." Also reminds us of what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, where he said, "With the Lord is one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day." And of course, we know as Christians, the Holy Spirit and Jesus were coexistent with the Father, being members of the Godhead. Now we see this whole principle of eternity in John chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus as the Word, where he says in the beginning of verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being." Our God is eternal. And it is God that made the world and all the people who live on it. And it is, as Paul stated in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, that He is the one who has determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation. It took an eternal God to make a beginning for this world. And that's recorded for us, obviously, in Genesis chapter 1. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, that the Father knows when the realm with its boundaries of time and limitations will come to end and pass away. And a time when there will be no more calendars to change, no more seasons to change, no more days, no more months, no more years or centuries. There will be no more time, but only existence and timelessness forever. That's hard for me, Caleb, to comprehend, because I live and die by a clock. And the guys that work for me, I've got a crew of about 10 or 12, and I know I'm hard to work for. That's just, I'll admit that. But I am very, very structured on time. And I have a report that I have to approve every Friday morning before paychecks are issued, and I have to sign off on those time cards. And I'm a stickler about it. I admit I am. Whether it's a late lunch or it's clocking in early or clocking in late, I mean, and I know where all my trucks are supposed to be as far as dispatching. I know where all my crews are supposed to be. I live and die by time. But to think about a time where there is no time, where there is no appointments, a time where the only thing that matters is God and praising Him and being with God, that's something that we have to look forward to. Peter spoke of the day when time will end, when he said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." Paul also described it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as a time when the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Here we are going about our everyday life in a world bound by time, and God sees it fit to end what He started so many years ago. And there's a way with it all. And there we stand at that time to face the realm of eternity. There's an illustration, you may or may not have heard this, but I thought this was interesting, of a man trying to illustrate what eternity is like. He said, If it could be done, it would take a bird traveling at 30 miles an hour nearly 2 years to carry a grain of sand to the moon and return to the earth. And suppose the bird continued this cycle until all the beaches of the world were bare. That, to our finite minds, would be the first moment of eternity. It's a long time, man. But you see that with that illustration, We're trying to gauge eternity by time. And eternity is timeless. It's everlasting. Now, our time on this earth is short. As in Psalm chapter 90, as Moses stated, as the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due strength 80, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it will be gone and will fly away. You know, two or three weeks ago, I guess it was, I had to officiate a good friend of mine's granddaddy's funeral over in LaRue County. The man was 93 years old, wasn't a member of the church. I'd actually only met the man two or three times, but was a close family friend, and was asked to say a few words, and kind of a tough situation, him not being a member of the church, and not really knowing the man all that well, other than him buying seed corn from me for a few years. That's about the extent of my relationship with him. But he was 92 when he passed away, older gentleman. And we talked about all the things that Mr. Roy had seen in his life. You know, from the conversations I had preparing for the funeral. You know, me coming from a farming background, I appreciated the fact that he was the first in LaRue County to have a tractor, an old Farm All H. And now, in today's day and time, as Dennis can tell you, you know, the farm show, they released a tractor this year that you drive to the field, hit a button on your phone, drive, and go home and go to bed and let it plant all night. A lot of changes, a lot of time. And that's, and that man, I'm sure him, 93 years old, 92 years old, however old he was, thought he had lived a long time on this earth. But when you put 93 years in the span of eternity, it's nothing. You know, our physical bodies are here for just a short time. But we as Christians have to realize that when we die, there's more to us than just a physical body. You know, contained in our physical body as a spirit, as a living soul. And it's had its beginning, contrary to what politicians might tell you, it's had its beginning since we're conceived. And gave us life, but unlike our physical body in which our spirit is housed, our spirit will never cease to exist. And with our limited time of thinking, many times an hour or a day or a year might seem like a long time, but it's very short. You know, springtime is my busy time of the year. Last Tuesday, I had 118 phone calls in one day. I mean, it's very busy. And I dread this time of year because I'm away from the girls a lot of early times, leaving before the sun's up and getting home when the sun's done gone down. But you know, those 3 months of busy planting season pass just like that. And before then, it's deer season to me. You don't see me again. But it's quick. And yet, so many times, people, they get focusing on their physical life and forget about what is going to face us in eternity. We get so wrapped up in our tiny, limited little world that we take no thought for what they will soon face. You know, I don't really, when I went and officiated that funeral for Mr. Flanders, I really don't know much about his spiritual walk of life. Like I said, I only met him a couple of times. He probably said 10 words to me in the entire time that we talked when I went and delivered, because I was doing business with his grandson. But when he came to the end of his life, when he drew his last breath, a destination was fixed for him. Now, as I said, I don't know what his condition was spiritually. But regardless of the fact, one of us is going to wake up, and we're either going to wake up in life or we're going to wake up in death. You know, when many times we speak of the illustration physical life being the union of the body of the body and the soul, and spiritual life is the union between us and God. You know, how important is that union to us? So many people are worried about what they can achieve in their life, whether it be having the biggest IRA or 401k or whatever you might have, or the biggest house or whatever it might be. But at the end of your life, what is your spiritual destination? Are you ready for eternity? That's why, you know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that He is going to prepare a place for us where His Father dwells in that eternity, in that heaven. And it says, Isaiah speaks in Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15, where he speaks of God as the high and exalted one who lives forever, one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Jesus has already gone to that eternal place. Eternal realm of life, out of this realm, and which also where the Father is, and He tells us that we can be there also. But that can only happen if we're joined to Him through baptism. That's the only way. That's the only way that when we come to the end of this life, whether we're in the 90s, like Mr. Flanders was a few weeks ago, or as young as some friends of mine who passed away in high school were. Are we ready for eternity? Because the fact of the matter is, it could happen tonight. We could, for whatever reason, God, be killed in a car wreck, or just be your time to go. Or the Lord could come back. But whatever it is, we have to be ready. And we can only do so by becoming a Christian. I know I read this verse every time I'm up here, but 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 gives us the instructions. It says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but as an appeal to God through a good conscience to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You would be surprised as to how many people in the world today do not know that that verse even exists. As I've said before when I preach up here, there was a conversation with a guy that worked for me who is a very religious person. We talked, he asked me, he said, Caleb, how does the Church of Christ believe that you become a Christian? I said, well, it doesn't matter what the Church of Christ says. It doesn't matter what matters, it's what the Bible says. And, you know what I mean. I said, well, we believe what 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says. Well, I don't know what that says. I hand you my phone. Well, Brother Gary never says nothing about that. Well, I said, I don't care what Brother Gary said. That's what Peter said. Inspired through God and the Bible. You know, that's the only way. In closing, you know, we all have Facebook, and I think the programs like what Jared is trying to do can be a great tool. But the other day, a friend of mine who is a member of a denominational congregation in Morgantown had shared their church service just like we have, their live stream or whatever. And I wasn't for sure. I knew they'd had a change in the leadership there, if he was preaching, and I flipped over to it. And I fast-forwarded past all their singing and guitar playing and all that and got to the preaching part. And in the 30 seconds that I watched it, the preacher, whoever he was, I still haven't figured out what his name is, he says, it doesn't matter how you come to Jesus as long as you come. Let's just all go to heaven together. And that's good and fine in principle. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says different. That baptism saves us. And if we want to have a hope of eternity, to have a hope of the realm of eternity, to spend together in heaven forever, that is the only way. If there's any need for salvation this evening, come forward as we stand and sing the song.